Hi, thanks for joining us. Can you read this, please?
As we strengthen friendships around the world, we're also restoring clarity about our adversaries.
Whoa, amazing. Absolutely, give it up. Are you an American citizen?
I am.
Have you ever thought of being president?
Every day.
You're qualified. Way to go. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. Can I ask you to read this?
Of course. Every federal dollar should be leveraged by partnering with state and local governments and, where appropriate, tapping into private sector investments to permanently fix the infrastructure deficit.
Amazing. Unbelievable.
Thank you.
Are you a U.S. citizen?
Absolutely.
Have you ever thought of being president?
Maybe.
Because that was very presidential. That was really.
You think
very,
I'm the right well age done. To get there?
You're a little young.
Oh, okay.
Hi, we're joined by another passerby now. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Can I ask you to read this?
Okay. My administration is committed to fighting the drug epidemic and helping get treatment for those in need. White people, the colored criminals will keep throwing in jail.
Oh, yeah. Nicely done. But I'm sorry, that last part you weren't supposed to read. You were just supposed to think that last part.
Oh, okay.
Hi, we've got someone else with us. Sir, what's your name?
My name is Moshe.
Moshe, thanks for joining us. Can I ask you to read this?
Sure. We are appointing judges who will interpret the Constitution as written, and more circuit court judges than any new administration in the history of our country, all of whom will be bringing biblical law back to America. You want me to read this?
Well, you want to be president, it takes sacrifice. Hi, we've got a group of visitors with us right now. Can I ask you guys to team read this for us?
Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof.
Or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peacefully to assemble.
On to petition the government for redress of grievances.
Amazing. That was great. I think we've got a trio of presidential candidates here. Amazing.
What? No, I can't. I'm an immigrant. I'm from London.
Well, it's okay. You're white. That's probably okay.
It's time for Forward Nation Radio. Now here he is, the host of Forward Nation Radio, David Leventhal.
Welcome to Forward Nation Radio with me, David Leventhal. Thank you for joining us on today's show, the last show in January. We will be talking about Mr. Bean going to Congress to deliver his State of the Union address and going elsewhere to deliver speeches. We'll be talking about the Mueller investigation, a little bit on the Russia probe and where we stand. And finally, we should finish up with a few minutes on immigration if we have time, updating you on that. But first, before we get into the substance of the show today, many of you may already have heard that last night was a very special night. It was a super blue blood moon. That's right, something that happens once every 152 years. It is a blue moon because it's a full moon twice a month. The second full moon of the month is a blue moon. It is a super moon because it is the closest the moon comes in its orbit to Earth. It is a blood moon because, seeing that Donald Trump was delivering the State of the Union address, the moon slashed his wrists. No, I'm told that's not why it's a super moon. It's a super moon because it is a full lunar eclipse. Okay, that makes more sense. So in other words, because of the State of the Union address, the moon saw that Donald Trump was a president and tried to hide. How about that one? Does that joke work better? Maybe. Okay. This happens once every 152 years, or apparently when Trump gives a State of the Union address. Check in again next year, or if you miss this one, if it doesn't happen every State of the Union address, check in 152 years and watch the next one. Anyway, the top news story today, of course, is that Mr. Bean goes to Congress. That's right, Donald Trump gave his State of the Union address. Damien, did you watch the State of the Union address?
No. I had to wash my hair.
You had to wash your hair. I thought it was you have to wash your... Oh, you have socks. Right. That's no hair. Our producer has no hair, so that was that. That's even better than washing socks. I must admit, I did not watch the State of the Union. Sorry if I let you down, viewers, but I couldn't force myself to do that, and I didn't let anybody force me. In other words, nobody did this to me. And so I didn't watch the State of the Union. Some people apparently did, and I was able to look at the postmortem this morning and find out what was said and what was not said. The United States, of course, basically remains rudderless under a president that we are all saying, wow, look how presidential he is. He was able to read a speech. Not only that, but he showed such impulse control. Not only can he be president, he probably is ready for high school. But he managed to not blurt out ad libs during the course of the speech, as he had, talk briefly, as he had in Davos earlier in the week. Well, let's talk about some of the comedy highlights of the speech, which there really wasn't much reason to watch because, well, if you want to get lied to, you could just turn on Fox News. You don't have to watch the State of the Union. But anyway, there were, of course, some comedy highlights during the speech that are worth talking about. So, here's one of my favorite lines. He talked about the bonds of trust between people and their government and how he has restored the bonds of trust. Apparently by lying only 2,000 times or so in his first year, that is how you restore the bonds of trust. Let's also ignore the whole concept of running this country for rich people and screwing everybody else and lying about what you're doing to better separate them from their life savings. Restoring the bond of trust. And then, of course, he talked about the economy. Well, one good thing about the economy, at least he didn't take credit for the fact that none of the planes flying people to the State of the Union actually crashed. It was even money bet, 50-50, that he would take credit for that. Hey, no limousines crashed on the way here. That's President Trump. Okay? He took credit for all kinds of things in the economy, most of which weren't true, much of which was true not because of Trump, and started long before in Obama. Here's one of my favorite lines from the speech.
We have ended the war on beautiful, clean coal.
Favorite terminology of Donald Trump, who apparently likes to cuddle up when he goes to bed, nice, clean pile of coal. I guess when he was young and he found coal in his Christmas stockings and people said to him, that's a good thing. Little Donald said, okay, good, yeah, okay, coal in my stockings, again, excellent. Okay, clean coal, like healthy Big Mac or diet ice cream. How about restoring our strength and our standing abroad? One of my favorite lines from the speech, restoring our strength and our standing abroad. This is from a man who within 1 year has given up U.S. world leadership, who is in fact a joke when he shows up on the world stage, who in fact hasn't even filled most of our State Department positions. Just last night, the news broke from the Washington Post, that Donald Trump's finally proposed nomination for ambassador to South Korea, global hotspot, actually is no longer his proposed nominee. Because the man had the temerity to point out that maybe threatening nuclear warfare was not the best way to demonstrate your strength and your standing abroad. How about bipartisanship. That has to be the best part of the whole speech. That this president, who has attacked everybody who voted against him and blue states that didn't go his way, talks about bipartisanship in a speech that was clearly designed to be red meat for the base. Lots of commentators have been talking about how the speech was disguised as bipartisanship when everything in it was code words or dog whistles for the base that I'm on your side. Bipartisanship? I suppose I shouldn't be too hard on President Trump. Maybe he can bring people together. After all, look what he did for the United States and Russia. Nevertheless, there's almost no evidence of bipartisanship in anything he's done or anything he said. And then, of course, finally, he talked about infrastructure. There was an area that he could get bipartisan agreement. Democrats believe that we should be investing in America. Certainly those of us who work in public education believe we should be investing in America. But even in that, he talks about bipartisanship, but he does it in a way to make sure everybody knows how partisan he is. Did you notice him mention how are we going to fund infrastructure? Well, we're going to do it with input from state and local governments. A lot of the funding is going to come from state and local governments. Those that he hasn't already impoverished, presumably he's going to figure out a way to get it only from blue states, I guess, which they've already done a part of in their tax bill. And he also mentioned that we will be funding infrastructure through private investment where appropriate. Now, there's an area of potential bipartisan agreement. Democrats like me, liberals, progressives, believe that we should be funding infrastructure through private money. And the way we should be doing that is by taxing private money. Donald Trump, however, believes that the way you get private industry involved in infrastructure is you sell off the American infrastructure to private companies who will make a profit on it in the future. The devil's in the details there. Real bipartisanship. But anyway, before he gave his State of the Union, the leader of the free world went to Davos, where he got booed. That's right, unlike in his State of the Union address, Donald Trump went off script for a few moments and started bashing the press and got booed. Apparently, they have a hell of a lot more sense at Davos than they have at Republican Party gatherings. Last week, we were asked a question at the end of the show about what do I expect to happen from Trump's interview with Robert Mueller? And I talked about the fact that the president would be walking into a perjury trap. What I really didn't talk about and should have was how there's basically no way the president is going to go talk to Robert Mueller. I find it impossible to believe that he could do that. They are now asking, perhaps we will do it through written questions, so Donald Trump won't testify, his lawyers will, probably the ones who send out the Twitter admission to federal criminal violations. But in any event, they're also, if he doesn't get to do it through written word, he's not going to testify anyway. And this is part of what the whole attack is on the FBI, on Robert Mueller, on everything having to do with this investigation, to give him cover to not testify. Imagine how this would go if you have President Trump being interviewed by the special counsel. Sir, can you state your name, please, for the record? Donald J. Trump. I got that one right. Unbelievable. So lawyers will be like, yeah, you got that one right. Okay, very good. Sir, what's the J stand for? Julius. Are you sure, sir? It's not Julius. Well, that's what it was back in the old country. Sweden, where my family is from. Because we're from, definitely not Germany. We are not from Germany. We are maybe, from Sweden. Yeah. That's how I know so much about whores. Because, all the best whores come from Sweden. Absolutely. Yeah. So if you ask, this is what happens when you have a pathological liar. If they ask Donald Trump what he had for breakfast, the President of the United States might say something like,
I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Yeah, I'm really counting on our crack tech staff to have gotten that one down. And those of you watching live stream, you're going to have to tune in to see what's going on there. And the special counsel, his lawyer's going to be great. Mr. President, no, you had a Big Mac and ice cream. You just had a Big Mac and ice cream. This is what it means to be a pathological liar. You lie about everything, whether you have to or not. You lie about breakfast. That's President Trump. In fact, the interesting question with Mueller is whether his lawyers can actually let him testify. There is a rule that lawyers cannot have their clients testify if they have reason to believe that their client is going to testify untruthfully and commit perjury. You can't put your client on the stand if you know your client's going to be lying. By opening his mouth, his lawyers know that Donald Trump is going to be lying. How can you put him on the stand? How can you have him interview with a federal prosecutor, lying to which would be a federal crime? Mr. Trump, is it true that you tried to fire me? I was Richard Nixon there for a minute, but I never thought of firing you, ever. Never. Not true. Fake news. But, sir, everybody, including Fox News, has come out and confirmed the story that you tried to fire the independent counsel. Here's the problem with Trump testifying, aside from the fact that he is a pathological liar. He can't tell the truth, because if he tells the truth, he's admitting to federal crimes because he committed crimes. He has made it clear that he obstructed justice, and he has made it clear that he obstructed justice with the intent to obstruct justice. So either way, he's committing a crime. You tell the truth and admit to a crime, or you lie and you commit a crime in lying. This is the guy that his own aides came out and said, we won't let him in a room to negotiate with Chuck Schumer. We don't trust him to negotiate with the Senate Minority Leader. The same aides come out publicly and say, well, you know, the guy who wrote The Art of the Deal, we could trust him to negotiate hard for America. The guy who wrote The Art of the Deal? Trump didn't write The Art of the Deal. This guy wrote The Art of the Deal. Tony Schwartz wrote The Art of the Deal. Normally, I'd say Trump didn't read The Art of the Deal, except it's all about him, so he might have. I don't see any way they let this guy testify to the independent counsel. Why? Well, we've once again seen throughout the week the continued further assault on the fabric of U.S. democracy. How serious this presidency has been for a year, it's still managed to up the game on this one. The attacks on U.S. democratic institutions, press, etc., and now our intelligence agencies, have gotten ridiculous. Remarkable the extent to which. Remember when Barack Obama saluted while holding something and the right wing went ballistic about how unpatriotic that was? He didn't love our military enough. He didn't love our institutions enough. And now we've gotten to this. But the President of the United States attacks the FBI. Here's a quick question for you, viewers, and Damian, you could weigh in on this if you like. Who is believed to be the richest man in the world?
Who's believed to be or who actually is?
Believed to be, which is probably actually is.
Vladimir Putin?
Yeah, actually, the richest man in the world is expected, is Vladimir Putin. Why? Because he's stolen more money than anybody else has stolen or earned. He has taken more out of the Russian economy, he has taken more out of the Russian people than anybody else, and it is expected that he has tens and scores of billions of dollars hidden away in overseas accounts or other places.
You'd think he'd be able to afford to buy a shirt.
You think he would be able to, but you know what? He also could afford to not wear one. Okay? If you got billions of dollars, you wear whatever the hell, you go back and wash those socks. You can wear whatever the hell you want. You got that kind of money. In other words, clearly Donald Trump's hero. A man who has stolen more money than Donald Trump, I think, even a man who thinks that big, can ever imagine stealing. I bring up Putin, of course, because he's relevant to this part of the discussion. I was surprised, not really, to see that Vladimir Putin did not attend the State of the Union. Don't feel bad. You could be sure that he was watching to see how his protege was doing. Okay? Because that's what we're seeing here right now, how blatant this is. Do you think that Vladimir Putin, if he were elected president, could do much better at purging the United States government, the United States intelligence agencies? We are seeing a massive assault on U.S. intelligence agencies right now. I mean, this is really not funny stuff. Trump, what is it, 7-8 months ago, ordered the firing of the special counsel. Leading the White House counsel, Donald McGahn, to threaten to resign if he had to relay that order to somebody to carry it out. And ultimately, apparently, Trump was talked out of it. There's that guy who didn't write The Art of the Deal. Great negotiator. Do this. No? Okay. But we've seen that several times in his administration. Wow, that man, what follow through. Not that I'm regretting that he didn't follow through with the firing of the special counsel. I don't want to regret that because it may be coming very shortly. But we also now find out the extent to which he has purged so much of the FBI. We have read about how Donald Trump's appointee, FBI Director Christopher Wray, threatened to quit when Donald Trump wanted him to force out Deputy FBI Director Andrew McCabe, who of course is currently, who's leaving? Yeah, who ultimately got forced out. Well, so much for Christopher Wray being the hero of this story, because he got forced out anyway. We're forcing career civil servants out, the FBI, intelligence services, and all over. Because the idea of intelligence is, tell us what we want to know. This has been the Republican Party in so many respects for so long. We don't care what the facts are and what the truth is. Just tell us what we want to know. Investigate our enemies. Throw them in jail. Don't investigate us. We now get to talk briefly about Donald Trump's payoff of a whore. Why? Well, partly because it's fun to say that the President of the United States, just before he became president, paid off a whore to keep her silent. But more because when you look into the story and what's been behind the scenes in the story, you look at the money that they apparently used to pay off this whore, and people are still trying to figure out who it was, or where it was, rather, where it came from. But we've opened up a whole avenue of money laundering for not just one organized criminal organization, but for organized criminal organizations around the world. Finally, there's one way in which Donald Trump believes in globalization. Okay? It doesn't just have to be the American, it could be the Russian mafia, Italian, everybody's mafia. Donald Trump's willing to launder your money for the right price, apparently. Remember how the Trump administration has been threatening from the very beginning the special counsel that you had better not look into finances? That is not your mandate. Maybe it all starts to come together a little bit. As we pointed out before, obstruction has already been proven. He has clearly obstructed justice. We've said before that the only question is whether he intended to obstruct justice. And now, as information keeps coming out, it's perfectly clear he intended to obstruct justice. It was really perfectly clear in the very beginning. When he fires Comey and then says, well, great, I took care of that Russia problem, that's intent. Damien, you wanted to add something? I just said it, did I?
Yeah, I think at this point it's just very obvious.
I stole your thunder.
And anybody who isn't seeing this is just not using their eyes.
Yeah, this is Damien's a big fan of. We've talked about this in the past on the show. Damien's always saying this. Just use your eyes. Just look. Just use your ears. Listen. And think for a second about what's in front of you. Because the viewers of this show and those of us on this show can laugh about the ridiculousness of what's going on. But we cry about the fact that so many people in this country don't see the obvious ridiculousness. So anyway, we know now that, well, regarding the firing of Comey, we now know that Trump aides were lying to Trump regarding his ability to fire the director of the FBI because they were afraid he was going to fire the FBI director. This has all come out recently. Mueller has substantiated Comey's testimony on troubling interactions between the two of them, all of which go to the issue of intent. I saw this morning that Kenneth Starr, the poster child of what a special counsel should not be, a Republican partisan who was named special counsel to investigate a Democrat, Bill Clinton, at a time when that was okay. Now, of course, you can't even have Republicans investigating Republicans. That's not fair, I guess. You can only have Trump investigating himself, I believe. But Kenneth Starr came out and said, based on what we're seeing right now, this guy lied to the American public about trying to fire Mueller. This needs to be looked into. This is impeachment stuff. This is impeachable. Republicans better hope they hold on to Congress. Donald Trump better hope that they hold on to Congress in 2018. Our viewers had better hope that they don't. Anyway, regarding substantiating Mueller, Comey's testimony, duh. The former FBI director, who again we have problems with, versus a pathological liar. Gee, I wonder who we should believe. Okay. A communications aide in the Trump administration, we now learned, has resigned due to obstruction of justice. Nicholas Kristof, who I like and frequently refer to his articles, had an article this week where he said, how do you respond to authoritarians like what's happening in the Trump administration other than soiling your shorts? I added that. He didn't add it. He said, you don't respond in kind. You take the high ground and you look for coalitions with the other side. Noble thinking. We've been talking at length about this in the past. I'm sort of sick of taking the high ground. I want to win now and then. And the problem with coalitions with the other side is now the somewhat less crazy Republicans, we once again continue to move to the right. Move to the right, move to the right, move to the right. They need to be defeated. They don't need to be worked with. Release the memo. We can't go before we talk about release the memo. What's going on with the whole hashtag release the memo other than it's complete manufactured bullshit? Devin Nunes, the head of the House Intelligence Committee and also Trump's water boy. This guy is such a lackey. Can't they find someone who's a piece of shit who's not such an obvious clown? But Devin Nunes, who had to recuse himself from the Russia investigation because he was Trump's lackey, but who is now still doing the Russia investigation because he has no integrity, wrote a memo cherry-picked from FBI intelligence, confidential FBI memos. Cherry-picked anything that might possibly look bad when taken out of context and wrote up a memo on behalf of his boss, for whom he's a bitch, Donald Trump. And Devin Nunes took this memo with classified information, cherry-picked, and bullshit, and said, I should release this to the American public to show what a witch hunt this is, to show how evil U.S. intelligence agencies are. That's right. This is a true American. No. Shouldn't do it. Okay. If you insist, I will have to turn it over. The FBI has described this as extraordinarily reckless. But the Republicans apparently strongly believe in freedom of speech and making shit up. Well, not that strongly, because it turns out the Democrats on the committee prepared a thoughtful response, a rebuttal to the allegations made in the memo, in the Nunes memo. That the House Intelligence Committee will not allow to be released. They'll release the bullshit. They won't allow the rebuttal to be released. This is freedom of speech, Republican style. Real quick,
hey, yeah, just had a question. So one of the biggest debates right now is whether the Dems should go ahead and release it anyway. What do you think about that?
I think the Democrats should go ahead and release it anyway. Obviously the Democrats need to go to the FBI and say, what's in here that you need to be really concerned about? What is going to give up secrets that are really important to us, that is going to out any of it? You know, we talked about Valerie Plame before. Republicans don't care about outing CIA agent, undercover agents, the people, assets they work with. But Democrats need to be careful about that. And I would say they need to go and make sure that they're not doing anything that is turning over state secrets. And then, of course, they need to release the memo. They need to, what do we call it, pulling a Feinstein at this point? We can go ahead and call that pulling a Feinstein. Anyway, before we go, real quickly, I said I would talk briefly about some of the things that's been going on with immigration. We'll come back to this, hopefully, next week a little bit. But we talked a little about how Trump was playing in a State of the Union to his base, which is mostly about racism. In the State of the Union, he talked about immigrants for something like 15 minutes, which from my understanding means like two sentences. But he talked for like 15 minutes about immigrants. And everything was about how they're criminals, how they're awful. Have you seen the Trump campaign ad on this one? Actually, the guy in the campaign ad looks a little bit like you, Damien. But you're much nicer and friendlier looking. They find a guy who looks bad and it's, they're coming to kill you. We are blaming the Democrats for everyone who's injured by an immigrant. Not everyone who's killed by a gun. Not every child who's accidentally killed by a gun. Not anything like that. The fact that all kinds of studies demonstrate that immigrants commit crimes and violent crimes at a much lower rate than native-born Americans do, that's irrelevant. Because as we talked about before with bumper sticker politics, which we'd like to see the Democrats engage in a little bit better, we have some ideas for bumper stickers that you'll be able to check out. We talked about this bumper sticker politics idea. It's easy to say one immigrant committed a crime. The Democrats are responsible for that. We're not going to look at one native-born and say, you committed a crime, the Republicans are responsible for that. How do you counteract that? I want to point out that the Anti-Defamation League, we talk about the implications of immigrant bashing, of religion bashing, of spreading hate throughout our government. The Anti-Defamation League noted that there were 67% more anti-Semitic incidents in 2017 than in 2016. 67% more. I wish I could get that on a bumper sticker. Maybe I'll have to negotiate with Chuck Schumer if I can manage it. Anyway, last week I talked about a David Brooks article, Republican, who at least is revolted a little bit by how far Trump has gone. I want to bring up David Brooks again. He had an interesting article this week. Whereas always when I read David Brooks, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop and him to say, well, it's okay, Republicans are still right. But his article was all about how immigration is the lifeblood of this country. Where are the rest of our so-called Republican leaders at a time when we need them? Because it turns out immigration and immigrants are the lifeblood of this country. Anyway, that's this week's show. Thank you for joining us. If you like what you heard, like Looking Forward, go to forwardnationradio.com. That's forwardnationradio.com and get the full experience. You'll see the video from this and every episode there and on our YouTube channel as well. I only like to read this part, by the way, because this is the way I audition for president. I figure if I can read this, then I could be president. I can meet the Trump standard. Don't miss the next Forward Nation Radio podcast on Podbean at podbean.com. If you love what you heard, like us on Facebook, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Please tell your friends and help us spread the word. Forward Nation Radio, see you next week.
You've been listening to Forward Nation Radio with David Leventhal.